Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else as I try and bring this whole mental health thing back in order. Now, today, I do want to take a look at the Commanders from the Outlaws of Thunder Junction, but I don't really want to dig too far into any of the decks, so I'm really just going to look at the face commander and the backup commander, and then kind of go from there with how I was feeling about the decks. So, first up, we have the Saltai deck, which is helmed by Gonti, Canny, Acquisitor. I think that's how that's pronounced. It's two, and then Saltai, so black, green, blue, for a 5/5 Aetherborn Rogue. Spells you cast but don't own cost one less to cast, and whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, look at the top card of that player's library. Exile it face down. You may play that card for as long as it remains exiled, and mana of any type can be spent to cast that spell. Which seems, you know, right up Gonti's alley with his original card. And then his backup commander is Felix Five Boots, which is two and Saltai, so again, black, green, blue, for a 5/4 Ooze Rogue. It has Menace and Ward 2, and it says, if a creature you control dealing combat damage to a player causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. So, yeah, Gonti wants you to hit to exile cards. Felix wants you to hit and then double Gonti's triggers. They work well together. The only thing is, I want to build Felix with five sets of boots. Just because I can. And that's not really what he wants to do. That's kind of the whole theme of that deck. Now, moving into the Mardu deck, that is helmed by Olivia, Opulent Outlaw. It is one in Mardu, so red, white, black. She is a 3/3 Vampire Assassin with flying and lifelink. And whenever one or more outlaws you control deal combat damage to a player, create a treasure token. And you can pay 3 and sacrifice 2 treasures to put 2 +1/+1 counters on each creature you control. Activate only as a sorcery. I will say, of the 4 face commanders, this is the one that I contemplated building. Just because it's very straightforward in what she wants to do. Her backup is Vihan, the Gold Waker. It's Mardu, so red, white, black, for a 3/3 Dwarf Warlock, and it says other outlaws you control have Vigilance and Haste, and at the beginning of combat on your turn, you may have treasures you control become 3/3 Construct Assassin Artifact creatures in addition to their other types until end of turn. And again, that's neat and all, but both of them do stuff with treasure, and I'm just kind of treasured out at this point. It's just not something I want to do at the moment. Maybe someday, when I'm not sick of looking at treasure, I'll come back to it, but for now, I'm just going to leave it there. Now, moving into the Naya deck, we have Yuma, Proud Protector, which is 5 and Naya, so red, green, white, for a 6/6 Human Ranger. This spell costs 1 less to cast for each land card in your graveyard. Whenever Yuma, Proud Protector, enters the battlefield or attacks, you may sacrifice a land if you do draw a card. And whenever a desert is put into your graveyard from anywhere, create a 4/2 green plant warrior creature token with reach. Interesting. I don't like having an 8-cost commander in the command zone, even if it does have a cost reduction like that. Let's see what his backup looks like. We have Kiri, Talented Sprout. 1 and Naya, so red, green, white for a 0-3 plant druid. Other plants and tree folks you control get +2/+0 at the beginning of your post-combat main phase. Return target plant, tree folk, or land from your graveyard to your hand. Okay, so I see how they work together. But yeah, that's... I gotta say, that's the two I'm, like, the least interested in. Even though this clearly wants you to do, like, a desert deck. And I'm sure that's what the precon kinda is, but... I don't know. Not piquing my interest in any way with either of those. And finally, we have the deck that I think shouldn't be here. It's the only deck that's two colors instead of three. But what do I know? So we have Stella Lee Wildcard, which is one, and is it so red and blue for a 2/4 human rogue. Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, exile the top card of your library. Until the end of your next turn, you may play that card. You can tap it to copy target instant or sorcery spell you control. You may choose new targets for the copy. Activate only if you've cast three or more spells this turn. And the backup here is Eris, Roar of the Storm. It is 8. And is it, so red and a blue, for a 4/4 elemental warlock. The spell costs 2 less to cast for each different mana value among instants and sorcery cards in your graveyard. It has flying and prowess. And whenever you cast your second spell each turn, you make a 4/4 red dragon elemental creature token with flying and prowess. So, yeah. I think it just annoys the part of me that looks at the other three decks and sees three colors, and then I see this one and go, why only two? You know? Like, prowess and spell slinging has been a Jeskai thing before. It could be tamer. It confuses me. You know what I mean? That said, I do want to look through some of the new cards and look at stuff I might want to pick up. But for the most part, there's not a whole lot more here. Yeah, looking at the new cards, I really only want to talk about a few of them. First up, we have Angel of Indemnity, which is a nice foil to an old card. It's 5 and a white for a 5/5 Angel Warrior with flying and lifelink. When Angel of Indemnity enters the battlefield, return target permanent card with mana value 4 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, and it has Encore for 6 white-white. Well, this does fall in the, you know, expensive angel. This is an expensive angel that does a good thing when it enters. And then you have that second shot to, you know, especially with Encore giving you a copy for each opponent. So you get three things back. I do like that. Looking in the blue, there's a card called Lock and Load. It's 2 and a blue for a sorcery. Draw a card and then draw a card for each other instant and sorcery spell you've cast this turn. But the important bit is it has Plot for 3 and a blue. And the way Plot works is you pay 4, you exile it, and then you can cast it as a sorcery on a later turn without paying its mana cost. So this is a good setup card for like a storm deck where you're just going to chain a bunch of spells together, draw a bunch of cards, and then you have this in exile and you cast that at the end and just draw a ton more cards. So I do have a deck that would like that and could, you know, put it in there, fix it into a deck. In black, there's a Heartless Conscription. 6 black, black for a sorcery. Exile all creatures. For each card exiled this way, you may play that card for as long as it remains exiled, and mana of any type can be spent to cast that spell. Exile, Heartless Conscription. I actually really like that. It's a good way to reset the board, and then you just start getting everything back. Yeah, sure, you have to invest the mana into it, but that's pretty good. In red, there's the Crackling Spellslinger. 3 red red for a 2/2 human wizard with flash. And when Crackling Spellslinger enters the battlefield, if you cast it, the next instant or sorcery spell you cast this turn has Storm. She might be a little expensive for what I would like to use her for, but I do like that ability. And then in the green one, you can't not talk about the Tower Winder. 1 and a green for a 1/1 snake with regen death touch. And when Tower Winder enters the battlefield, search your library and or graveyard for a card named Command Tower. Reveal it, put it into your hand. If you search your library this way, shuffle. So, yeah, that's kind of it when I'm looking at this stuff. I don't know. And sometimes in the past, I've actually, like, actively been like, oh, that looks sweet. I'd like to get the deck, tear it apart for parts, and then use, you know, these 10 cards for this deck, you know? And so far, I just haven't seen anything that really piques my interest that way, you know? I don't know. That said, we're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be right back to talk about something. I don't know what. See you in a minute. And we're back. Now, I have talked in the past about the Commander League that we're doing. And last year, we didn't have any rules set for how long you could play a certain commander, and things kind of got a little stale after a while. So this year, we have a thing that we basically have to change out monthly, or the way it's really worded is you get 4 uses, 4 plays with a commander before you have to change it out. So, I've been building actually 2 decks out of my pool per rounds, and then I could do like, oh, I'll play this one twice, or this one twice, and then this one twice, this one twice, or I can play like this one game 1, this one game 2, just to switch things up. I do have a commander that I'm probably going to build out after the league, and I just want to go over some of the cards that are in that deck that might make it into the finished product at the end. Just jumping into it, that is Judith, Carnage Connoisseur. 3 red black for a 3/4 human shaman. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, choose 1. The spell gains death touch and lifelink, or create a 2/2 red imp creature token with: when this creature dies, it deals 2 damage to each opponent. There's a core of like 5 other creatures in the deck that I want to talk about real quick. First up on there is Solfim Mayhem Dominus. 2 red red for a 5/4 Phyrexian Horror. If a sorcery you control would deal non-combat damage to an opponent or a permanent opponent controls, it deals double that damage to that player or permanent instead. And you can pay 1 and 2 Phyrexian red mana. Discard 2 cards to put an indestructible counter on Solfim Mayhem Dominus. Next up, we have Judith the Scourge Diva. 1 black red for a 2/2 human shaman. Other creatures you control get +1/+0, and whenever a non-token creature you control dies, Judith deals 1 damage to any target. Urabrask. 2 red red for a 4/4 Phyrexian Horror with First strike. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, Urbrask deals one damage to target opponent, and you add a red mana. Then, for a red mana, you can exile Urbrask, then return to the battlefield transformed under its owner's control. Activate only as a sorcery, and only if you've cast three or more instant and or sorcery cards this turn. He turns into the Great Work. Step one of this saga is the Great Work deals 3 damage to target opponent and each creature they control. Step 2 is create 3 treasure tokens. And step 3 is until end of turn you may cast instant and sorcery cards from your graveyard. If a spell cast this way would be put into a graveyard, exile it instead. Exile the Great Works, then return it to the battlefield. So, yeah. Next up we have the Vein Ripper, which is 3 black, black, black for a 6/5 vampire assassin with flying. It has ward, sacrifice a creature, and whenever a creature dies, target opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. And the last creature I want to talk about is the greatest of all of them. It is Squee the Immortal. 1 red red for a 2/1 goblin. You may cast Squee the Immortal from your graveyard and from exile. Or from exile, you know what I mean. That plays well with a lot of the things that we have that say, hey, sack a creature, do an additional thing. Things like Final Flourish. It's 1 and a black for an instant. It has kicker, sacrifice an artifact or creature. Target creature gets -2/-2 till end of turn. If the spell was kicked, it gets -6/-6 instead. We also have Corrupted Conviction. Single black instant as an additional cast to additional cost to cast the spell. Sacrifice a creature, draw 2 cards. Annihilating Glare. Single black mana, sorcery as additional cost to cast the spell. You can pay 4 or sacrifice an artifact or creature to destroy target creature or planeswalker. So it just, it plays well with a lot of the stuff that the deck wants to do. But that said, Judith also just cares about turning removal spells into things that have Death Touch and Lifelink, or into a 2/2 body that does damage to everybody when it dies. So it turns, you know, things like your Volcanic Spite into a Death Touch spell. For 1 and a red, you get an instant that does 3 damage to target creature, planeswalker, or battle. And you may put a card from your hand on the bottom of your library if you do draw a card. Things like that, or Stoke the Flames. 2 red red for an instant with Convoke. Deals 4 damage to any target. Part of the reason I like this in here is because with the Convoke, if you've already made a few imps and you don't have anything better to do, you can just tap them at the end of somebody else's turn to cast this. And then you can either kill something with more than 4 toughness by giving it Death Touch and Lifelink, or if you don't need to, you just make another 2/2. So it also turns every removal spell into a 2/2, essentially. Things like Deadly Derision. 2 black black for an instant. Destroy target creature or planeswalker. Create a treasure token. And a 2/2. Long Goodbye. 1 and a black for an instant. The spell can't be countered. Destroy target creature or planeswalker with mana value 3 or less. And make a 2/2. Vanquish the Weak. 2 and a black for an instant. Destroy target creature with power 3 or less. And make a 2/2. Yeah, it just turns every obnoxious card into, hey, make a 2/2. That said, I do want to talk about the 2 big spells that I have in here. The first one is Anzrag's Rampage. 3 red red for a sorcery. Destroy all artifacts you don't control. Then exile the top X cards of your library, where X is the number of artifacts that were put into graveyards from the battlefield this turn. You may put a creature card exiled this way onto the battlefield. It gains haste. Return it to your hand at the beginning of the next end step. This works well if you cast it with treasures, just because it also counts those, but it's also just a good removal spell for other people's rocks. And finally, we have Death Cloud. It is X, black, 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 for a sorcery. Each player loses X life, then discards X cards from his or her hand. then sacrifices X creatures, then sacrifices X lands. I haven't got to pull it off yet in a league game, but I want to. I want to be that guy. And yeah, that's kind of it. I know we're running a little over 20 minutes, so I think that's where I'm going to call it, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulvey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.